Good evening. It's Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Laura Houston. And tonight we have Kathleen Sims, who is the president of LifetimeLoveConnection.com, a premier online relationships, education, and coaching company. Kathleen is also the founder of the Center of Conscious Relationships, serving both singles and couples, offering counseling, soul healing therapy, coaching, and spiritually based transformational seminars. You have over 25 years' experience and have been blessed with a few decades to be married to your soulmate and have had quite the experience. So thank you, Kathleen, for coming to the show.
I'm excited to be here. Thank you.
And usually we start with a little bit about your journey. So tell us about your journey and how you sort of got to where you are now. But I guess some of the key areas that have brought you to doing the work that you do.
Thank you. That's a great question. Two things. One is when I was in the second grade, I knew from a loving teacher I wanted to be a teacher. In the eighth grade, from a terrible therapist, I knew I wanted to be a therapist when I grew up. And then at 16, I had a clairvoyant experience of being married to my husband before I knew what his name was.
Wow.
I was sitting amongst 200 kids, and I saw him across the room, and I said, "Who is that person?" And all of a sudden, I had this intense picture of me being married to him with two kids living in suburbia in a house. And I said to my girlfriend, "Oh, my God, it's bizarre. I'm going to marry him." You know, and I was ready to go to college and, you know, whatever. Well, within a year and a half, I was married, had a kid, and had bought a house before I was 18 years old.
Wow.
So needless to say, I set aside my, I'm going to be a teacher therapist, and I love being a mom and a wife, so I just, you know, gave that my all. And then I also was living in the question about how did that happen to me? Like, what was that I had this picture show up like that? I thought, it was bizarre to me also. I spent 15 years studying and living in the inquiry about what was that and how can I understand it and what happened and why, because I knew that Jim and I had a very deep connection that didn't appear to be like most other couples that I saw. And I discovered the principles that were in action that I was unconscious about, but that were in action. And so I still had, though, this belief that I was limited because I hadn't gone to college and all that sort of thing. Well, when my kids were teenagers, one of them started screaming at me and telling me that I was a powerful woman and why was I acting like I was not. And she told me she was tired of me waiting for her to come home from school because she had a life and she wanted me to get a life. And basically we were screaming at each other for 2 hours, and Jim was just like, "What are you doing?" And I kept saying, "If you love me, you would, you know, love me just the way I am, and why do you want to make me different?" And all of a sudden, in the midst of it, there was a moment, you know, one of those life-changing moments where I really heard in the deepest way what she said, which is she was seeing me as a powerful woman, and I wasn't behaving like it, but I also didn't see that myself.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an instant in that interaction where I not only saw it, it was beyond words. I felt it in the middle of my body. And I didn't speak for 3 days. Like, I had no words because it changed me so much. And at that time, also, I was 40 pounds overweight. In 6 weeks, I lost 40 pounds without dieting. And I went to a company that taught personal power and transformation for women and said, "I'm supposed to be one of your teachers." And within 6 months, I was a national training director for a company that taught personal power to women.
Wow.
So all of my dreams came true because I was taught on the job how to be a trainer and how to write transformational workshops and how to be a coach and how to do empowering counseling and how to do healing work. I was a dream come true. And I've been doing that for 25 years. And so I worked for 9 years empowering women, and then I decided I wanted to work with men and women. So I left there and started my own business 25 years ago, which is I had the Center for Conscious Living, and within that, the Center for Conscious Relationship. And over these years, I've developed all my own body of work and programs. And as I've matured mentally and emotionally along the way, I bring that forward into the work. And so I'm in a great place.
Yeah. Now, you lost your soulmate.
I did, after 40 years, and it was very shocking. He just died of a heart attack, cooking my breakfast. And I realized after he passed that I had this completely unconscious and childish belief that we would live till we were 85 and we'd die on the same day. I never had any thought or picture that what would it be like if he wasn't here. I mean, I was just so naive about that and didn't even think about it. So a couple things about that. 30 minutes before he passed away, and we didn't know that was going to happen, he stopped me in the hall and he hugged me. But he didn't just hug me, he held me, you know, not in a way that's a normal hug. And after about 2 minutes, he said, "Oh, my God, this feels so good." He said, "I don't know the kind of love we have. I mean, I don't know anybody that has this kind of love." And people need to know this. And that was the last thing he said to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Quite amazing last words. So out of that, several things happened that are remarkable to me. One is I did his service, his transition service celebration myself, which people were like, "What are you doing?" I didn't have tears. I didn't cry hardly at all. And I thought, what is wrong with me? Am I not grieving for my husband? Well, what actually I realized was happening to me is I felt so filled with having been loved in my life in that way. And I had this aha that didn't leave me, that it lived in me, and that I really missed him as a companion and laughter and fun and activity. But the love and connection I felt, just I was filled with it, the gratitude of having had that.
And then you were able to also move on.
You know, I did. I did my, you know, grieving work appropriate and so on and so forth. And then after 2.5 years, I started contemplating the idea there. Could there be another, you know, man like my husband, not just like him, but of that substance? And I had clients that were starting to want me to coach them with online dating. And I don't do things I haven't already done myself. So I rolled up my sleeves and I held it as a Petri dish experiment because I'd never dated in my whole life, right?
Right.
And went online and started doing online dating. And I created some criteria and I created some rules for myself that worked. And I interfaced with 200 men. And now this is, I by that time I was 61 years old, so I'm 65 now. So you can find a soulmate no matter your age. Anyway, and I met in person, I would say, about 30 gentlemen that, and had a lot of the wonderful experiences and some that were kind of strange. And here was this one. I broke all the rules. I didn't talk to him ahead of time on the phone. We only emailed two little paragraphs. We first connected on a Monday, and he said, "On Friday, I'll be anywhere you want and meet you." And I walked into a restaurant on Friday, and he was standing there, and I recognized him by his picture. I walked over, and I hugged him, and I had this intense energy inside my body, not my mind at all, inside my body of a remembrance. And I don't know if it was the same energy of my husband. I don't think it was, because Bob was different than my husband. But I knew in that moment while he was holding me that, oh, my God, this is the man I'm going to be with the rest of my life. So I put my hands on his shoulders, and I pushed his face back, and I looked in his eyes, and I said, "Oh, my God, it's you." And he said, what? Like, are you crazy, lady? I said, well, let's just, you know, sit down and eat. On the way to the table, I thought, I hope I like this guy, because I know I'm going to be with him, that he's going to be my partner. Well, we were inseparable. And I had them, you know, having wonderful fun and connecting in an unbelievable way. And I really saw that age doesn't matter, and that there's more than one soulmate in the world for each person, and, you know, that we just have to be prepared in our heart for that, which is what the work is that I do. Yeah. Is getting prepared in your heart for that to happen.
Yeah. You know, it's, I really will want to have you back to do a show just on relationships, and I know that that is definitely what you do. We're gonna theme it towards Christmas and the times that we're going through, and just how to help people. But, you know, it is amazing how many people I know, and I guess it's the time, because I certainly think that women, you know, for the first time really ever have been empowered in their own energy, and really aren't settling. But I know many, many, many women who, you know, are so not settling that they've never even been in a relationship, and some of them are in their 40s and their 50s, and they so desperately want a relationship, yet they've never, you know, they're not putting themselves in that energy to attract.
Mm-hmm. And it's, exactly.
Yeah, and it's really interesting, because, you know, some women, they're holding on to a past relationship, and, you know, they're not wanting to let go of that, and then there's others that just have never really had one, and it's very... It's just a very unique and interesting time, especially for women and relationships.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
A book came out that I'm a co-author of, Wake Up Women, and it really is, and I've co-authored with a lot of other wonderful women, some of which are on The Secret, and it just came out last week. Anyway, it really speaks to that. It's going straight to the laser heart of women particularly. And awakening to our power, and that doesn't mean power over others. That means power to generate from our heart of hearts, ourself, and our life the way we want it, and have that also include the unimaginable relationship
mm-hmm.
and life work, you know, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can change the world. Mm-hmm. I can also say that about teenagers and about children. I mean, mm-hmm. each of us is the potential of one person who can change the world. And women and new generations of, you know, kids and teenagers and so forth, we are the ones that, if we're willing to take a stand for the thoughts and feelings, heart and soul of a woman and of an innocent child, we can change the world.
Yeah. Yep. You know, every one of us, whether we're child, teen, female or male, have mm-hmm. that ability to completely mm-hmm. transform.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so what we're going to talk about today is really, you know, ways that we can have happier holidays. And I know that, you know, for some people, it's a stressful time. I think a lot of people have a lot of stress over the holiday season. For many, many reasons. A lot of times there's a lot of depression, but now we're going through a very stressful economic time. So, you know, it'd be nice to have people, you know, in a place where they, in a space where they can create, you know, really blissful opportunities for themselves. So tonight we're going to discuss that. And if you want to get a paper and pen, or you also will be able to listen to the archived show, it'll be up this evening. So, you know, sit back, listen to the show. I think it's going to be a great show. So I'm really, really happy to have you on the show, Kathleen.
Oh, so, thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about, you know, what do people want for Christmas?
What people want for Christmas is a sense of belonging. Mm-hmm. And what I've found about each of us is, it seems to be in human evolution that we have an inner conflict between I'm an individual, I'm me, and the swinging opposite end of that, which is I want to belong. I think we swing back and forth, and the holidays bring up the I want to belong side of us, And some of us don't have children or parents or partners to belong to or feel, get that feeling from. So what I like to think of is, if I go to the deepest place in my heart and spiritualized feelings, which I call, you know, feelings like passion and inspiration and clarity and vision and purpose and things like that, those to me are spiritualized feelings that are innate to our real nature. And feeling those feelings is what we want to feel every day, but especially we're aware of that at the holidays because of our traditions or past pictures or experiences that were fabulous holidays, or maybe some that were not fabulous. I mean, both of those pictures run what we hold in our mind. So what I found, I mean, imagine that both Thanksgiving and Christmas, I mean, for 40 years, my husband sat at the same place at the table. Mm-hmm. He carved the turkey. He and I did Thanksgiving together for the whole family for, you know, 40 years. Christmas, the same kind of tradition. So when he was no longer here, things like that were the hardest for me. And I know people who've gone through loss or divorce or illness, they would, I imagine, experience the same thing. And what I had to do was reinvent myself as head of household. I'm raising my grandchildren, so head of household, which I'd never been. And I had to reinvent my life from the standpoint of experiencing intrinsic values, meaning deepest feelings, around having to create new experiences to do that. And I'm a person who's very attached to tradition, to traditions. So it was very, very difficult for me the first year. And I had a couple of good friends and also my grown daughters that were, you know, like, well, we could do something different. And I was, no, we can't do anything different. Or, I can't do it. I'm just going to stay home alone this whole day. So I have to, you know, admit to everybody publicly that it took me a couple of years to do this. But what I was in was the deepest process of looking at what in the deepest way has meaning to me on a feeling level. And then from that, what can I create that are situations or structures or circumstances that might be ones I've never ever dreamed of, but that could still bring me that deep feeling? And I really learned in that it was the deep feeling that I had when I did family the way I did that I wanted to still have. And I didn't have a clue how to do that. So I had to start on a journey to discover what that was. And I had to be willing to experiment and try different things that I didn't even know if I was going to like doing them. And I discovered several things. One thing I discovered was to actually let people contribute to me at the holidays. I don't mean gifts, I mean, like, I let a friend of mine cook my whole family Thanksgiving dinner. And I say let by, it was a gift from her. But I was always, I can do it all. And, mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I would never have somebody else cook for my family. She and her husband didn't invite anybody else and cooked for my entire family at her house. Wow. The first year my husband passed. So that was new for me, is to allow people to actually step forward and contribute to me. I don't have to do it all. I don't have to make it up. And that, it was unimaginable to me to actually allow a friend to do something that I would only think traditionally of a family member doing. So that was a whole new thought. I know for a lot of people that's not a new thought. For me it was.
Oh, I think a lot of women have trouble receiving. I think we're great at giving. Uh-huh. We're not always so great at receiving.
Boy, isn't that the truth? That's so true. Well, the other thing I discovered was it was time for me, and I suggest this to anybody that, you know, wants something new to occur this holiday season. I discovered the importance of rituals. Mm. And I'll define rituals in my, you know, the way I'm speaking about it. Rituals to me are things that we create that we love and enjoy and that we can look forward to because we always enjoy them. And rituals actually can be and often are mundane things in our lives. So I might hear somebody say, I love Sunday morning and I sit in the window in the sun and I drink a cup of coffee and I read the Sunday paper. That's a ritual. It's something you can count on. I mean, and all the more in this day and time, we need things we can count on, and particularly things that we love the feeling of doing. Mm. So one thing I suggest to people is to look and see, what are the rituals that you already do in your life that you really enjoy? And often they're so habitual, we don't acknowledge the richness of them. Often we also think if they're mundane, they're not important.
Hmm.
But if you look at how I feel when I'm doing it, it's important. Bring those forward and do them intentionally more often. I mean, who's to say we can't sit in the sun in the window and drink coffee and read the paper every morning if that's what we love doing? So to bring ritual even more often in our life. And then it's time now for us also additionally to create new rituals. So ritual just being something I know I'll get a wonderful experience out of it. I want to do it on a regular basis, and I look forward to it. So when my husband transitioned, that was one thing that my grown daughters and I had to sit down and talk about. If we're not going to do it at my house anymore, how can we actually create rituals we love and they're outside the box for me? The next thing that occurred is you mentioned a few minutes ago about the economy.
Hmm.
We all have so much additional stress right now, maybe personally and individually with regards to finances, but also just the it's depressing to watch the news.
Hmm.
And we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or next year or whatever. So there's a whole new layer, worse than ever before possibly, of stress put upon us. And I know in my family, several people lost jobs recently and, had transitions that were hard to take. So for the first time, we decided not to, give each other adults' presents, only the children, which I know isn't novel to a lot of people, but we also created this game we're going to do where we bring, pink elephants wrapped up, and because none of us really need anything, bring presents that are a joke, that are out of our closet and sitting on the shelf forever, and the funnier the better, or the weirder the better, and then we play this game where each person picks a number and picks a present that's wrapped out of the middle of the room, everybody watches them open it, and then the next person that gets their number can come and steal that present if they like it, or pick a new, a new one, and then every five people you run around and you get to steal presents from each other. And it is so much fun. It's really more enjoyable than, when we've had 100 presents sitting around the tree because there's 20 people and there's mayhem. Mm-hmm. And we then wonder, where are we going to put all these things when we come home? We cherish the thought, but don't always know how we're going to put them to use.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that... doing the gift giving where we're bringing things and we're going to laugh about it and we're acknowledging we don't really need anything and we don't have money to spend particularly, and how can we still make our Christmas joyful in that, new stressful space? And I can't tell you how less stressed I feel this week. I was gone for a week in a conference. I just got back in the middle of the night last night. And when I got back, my grandson had put the Christmas tree up and put lights outside my house for me as a surprise.
Mm.
I don't have to go Christmas shopping because I have plenty of pink elephants. And I can buy for the kids online. I mean, look at that.
Yeah.
Talk about less stress, and I'm still looking forward to. I know that it's going to be wonderful fun.
Mm. Lovely. So any other suggestions for making this less stressful? They're your examples, which are great examples, but maybe for other people that don't know, what
yes,
to do.
Absolutely. There's several things I would suggest, absolutely, and that's one would be to sit down in quiet time and write down what are the things that stress you out the most at this point in time, and or the holidays are both together. And then you look at that and ask yourself, if I allowed myself to think outside the box, what are some of the things I can do to cut out this stress? So one might be to delegate more things. One might be, after the new year, I'm going to give you the gift of my time rather than a present during the holidays. One might be, you know, so really to think outside the box and in our schedule, to be sure we put in our schedule self-care. And particularly us women, but I think everybody, we think we can't take any time for ourselves during the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we can have a better sense of well-being and bring that forward into the holiday if we're carving out the time intentionally to take good care of ourselves. So let me go back to the thing I mentioned about intrinsic values, which are deep feelings. Okay, stress is the opposite of that. Stress is the vibration of anxiety and, you know, upset, fear, and worry.
Mm-hmm.
So, and fear and love, the intrinsic value main feeling is love. Fear and love cannot coexist. So if we look at how can I structure my holidays and also look at all these things that seem stressful to me, those are the questions to ask. How can I transform how I do this or give it up or give it away so there's more space for love?
Mm-hmm.
Another would be there's a principle I teach, 20 universal principles, one of which is the law of giving and receiving. And what that states is that when we're in the true essence of giving and receiving, giving and receiving are the same thing, happening simultaneously. So as I give, I receive. As I receive, I give. All of that is the simultaneous happening all at once exchange of love. So that's one of the biggest things I can offer as a gift, is to write that down on a paper and start thinking of your holiday. If I were to think outside the box, if Christmas is truly about giving and receiving love, how can I do this holiday season? And if this other list is, these are the ways I'm stressed, how can I release fear, which is what stress is about, and restructure those things so I'm not worried or fearful? And thinking of delegating, for example, who would want to love me in that way? Meaning, do something nice for me by me delegating something to someone.
Mm.
I mean, people love helping mm-hmm. one another because it's our nature to be one with another.
Yeah, and we forget just how much when we think about ourselves, we go, oh, well, I would love to help somebody. And they forget that, you know, that it's exactly the same on the other side. Other people would love to help you.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I was in a seminar this last week, and every day, all day long, they had you go up and ask people how you could serve them.
Mm-hmm.
So I had 6 days in a row of people asking me, oh, I'm going to cry, mm-hmm. asking me how they can, they asked, what's important to you and how can I serve you? And there came times this last 6 days where I couldn't breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And it was stretching my own receiving muscle. The how can I serve you was easy for me to ask others. But after 4 people asked me, I couldn't breathe, which was a great indication of what muscle I have to exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And to see the joy in other people's face when they are able to serve you, how can I put this? When they are able to serve you and they are seen and acknowledged for that. Not that they do it for that, but they are seen and acknowledged for that.
Mm-hmm.
That creates the bonds that we want and look for. That makes us feel like we belong.
Yeah. It's an interesting concept of giving and receiving. I think, you know, it's interesting because as you give, somebody is always receiving. As
yes.
you receive, somebody has to be giving. So we're always in this dynamic of give and receive. It's just how often are we consciously aware of being able to receive, and are we really able to, I guess, is it love ourselves enough to allow others to serve, to offer, to, you know, to be able to receive another's gift?
Exactly. That's so if we think of both giving and receiving, when we do it in a pure state, that would mean doing it on both sides from a place of love.
Mm-hmm.
And recognizing that both giving and receiving is extending love. So that's another thing that our audience can write down on the paper. Where are new places and where are additional places that maybe I've already done, but do it with a new awareness of where can I extend love? Then the second question would be, where am I withholding love that it's now time for me to extend love?
Mm-hmm.
And my sort of take on withholding love means to me, when I have any positive thoughts or feelings, if I don't express them, even to strangers, I'm withholding love. And we have so many positive and negative also, but positive thoughts and feelings throughout the day, and we just let them pass, sort of unconsciously pass through.
Mm-hmm.
I was leaving a parking lot and had to pay the person at the parking, you know, garage. And it was this really beautiful black man that looked like he was about 22 or something. And he smiled and had this most beautiful, radiant smile. And I gave him the money and I asked him how to get to the Bay Bridge so that I could get home.
Mm.
And he told me the directions and I couldn't even hear him, because I was so distracted by how beautiful he was. And I mean radiance and smile, and you know, like that. And I asked him again, and he told me again, and I still couldn't hear him. And this was about 20 years ago. And I was 20 years older than him or something. I thought, oh, my gosh, if I say something nice to him, he'll think I'm making a pass at him. And he'll think, you know, what is this old lady doing? So finally I said, I'm sorry, I'm not able to even listen to you. I need to tell you something. Is that okay? And he said, sure. I said, I just want to tell you how beautiful you are.
Mm-hmm.
You are so radiant. You've made my day. And I thought he would get embarrassed. He didn't. He so opened and received that. You know, he was grinning ear to ear and went, oh, thank you. You know, he didn't go close back down. He extended even bigger.
Hmm.
Then I said, now can you tell me how to get home? I think I can hear you now. And that incident transformed the way I held extending love and withholding love.
Hmm. Very, very interesting how we do things to ourselves that we just aren't aware of. I think also when you think of during these economic times, you know, there are a lot of gifts that we can give that, you know, to some people they would cherish. We just don't realize. It's really thinking, as you said, out of the box and thinking maybe about, you know, coupons we can give people of our time and our love and, you know, different things we can do that intimate or unintimate that they would cherish as much as any other.
Oh, absolutely. Years and years ago, somebody gave me time, and they didn't have money, and they said, I'll give you 4 hours. You can use me any way you want. Oh, my God. I was just speechless. I mean, think about it. If somebody gave you time and said, I have 4 hours of my life I'm going to give to you, use me any way you want. And it's my joy to do that. If that person was giving me a gift, so it's their joy to do that. And on my side, I had to work through my own process of receiving.
Yeah.
And think, and I mean, it took me 3 months to figure out how I was going to use their 4 hours. And I would go through my own mind with things like, well, I can't have her do that, or I couldn't ask her to do that, or, you know.
Right.
And she was saying, use me, I'll do anything.
Hmm. Yeah. So when we think about making this time positive and memorable, how do we do that?
Yeah, memorable is such a key word. I think a place for each of us to go that could be helpful is asking ourselves, what are the memories we have that we cherish? And not, can I repeat that particular thing, but rather look into our own memory that we cherish to see how did we feel in that experience.
Hmm.
And what makes it stay as a wonderful memory is because when you were doing whatever that was, you had some intensity of love and joy as a feeling, and that imprinted that and kept it as a memory. So looking back at those memorable times and looking at what did you feel at that time that made it memorable, and then bring it forward to present time now as a clue, like Hansel and Gretel and a breadcrumb. I want to feel this. Okay, then it is in present time, given who I am, you know, who my family is or whatever, given present time, my life, what are some things that I can create that I think would produce that feeling? And let go of the picture of the old, but keep the feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And we can create new, imprinted, wonderful memories by doing that. And it, you know, what would be wonderful, I didn't think of this till right now, but what would be wonderful is to call and ask key people in our life the same question. Let's say people that we're going to spend some time at the holidays with and have that kind of a conversation. What would you like that would create a wonderful, fond memory this holiday season? And to get in that kind of a conversation, creating new memories.
Mm-hmm. And it is really about the feeling. And
yes, it's always about the feeling. So, and again, I go back to that word intrinsic values, which to me are our deepest feelings, meaning they're innate in us, and they're either dormant or they're activated. Okay, so let me actually say something about that because it's so important to me. When we feel the most human, in a pure state, the most human, it's when we're in the moment of feeling some intrinsic value, feeling like love or joy or passion or inspiration. You know, seeing something inspiring and you're speechless and you have tears running down your face. That's being in our innate, experiencing directly our innate feeling. And those are the times we feel the most vibrant and alive, which is why we more and more want to feel good, because we feel the most vibrant and alive when we're experiencing those feelings. Well, imagine if we brought our awareness up a notch and became more consciously aware, and then we could activate it by choice. What are the most important feelings I want to experience? And then plan our life, our day, our week, our holiday around that. That truly is creating our reality.
Mm-hmm.
At the deepest choice level. So I invite everyone to think about a time that you were with someone or in some experience where you were moved by a feeling of love. And if you remember a situation where you were moved by an internal feeling of love, think about that. Did that feeling come from someone else? It did not. The feeling only can come from within ourselves. So I assert that love is who we are by our nature, and it's either dormant or it's activated. So we can create intentional experiences where it would be more apt to be activated.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. I think often, again, we're usually so unconscious when we wake up or when we're in the moment, not really living, but really being unconscious and just going through the actions and the motions, and you know, not taking the time to have strong intentions of what and how you want to experience your life. So I think if you woke up each morning with a memory of that intent, love that you were speaking of, and you know, with the intent of duplicating that throughout your day, mm-hmm. you would have pretty incredible days.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, one of the things that my work is about and that I've spent my lifetime trying to practice, meaning it's a challenge, and when I experience it, I love it, so I try to bring it forward more, and that is being fully present with another person. And to me, and that could be a stranger. It doesn't have to be, you know, my child. Being fully present with another person, which means suspending all judgment of them. Being fully present with no judgments and no agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're in that state and we're with another and actually looking fully at them with no judgment and thought of our own, and fully listening for what comes forward, you know, in an honoring and respecting way.
Mm-hmm.
That is love also.
Absolutely.
And I mean, my husband used to work in the grocery business, and I make it a practice to do that every chance I can with the grocery checker.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to broaden our ideas about, oh, I can only save that for, you know, my relative when they get home. And I think people most of the time aren't consciously aware, you know, of what they're doing or what they're thinking. And the more we can bring that up to an awareness, what we're, you know, our chattery voice, and realize it doesn't mean anything and just let it go, like float away. You know, go for mindlessness. Mindlessness actually expands and extends our awareness so we can be fully present with whatever's going on. And that's love existing.
Mm-hmm. Because when we're in the now, we are love, because that's our natural state.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. Love. So imagine we're all vibrations, and vibrations mean cellular, you know, atoms moving, and that our very nature of the vibrational cell that we have infilled in us is the identical atom and vibration when we are in our pure state of God or creation or creator and love. They're all one thing. You can use any word you want.
Mm-hmm.
They're all one thing. So people misconstrue, I think personally often, all too often, what love is. Like, well, what love is if this, I don't know, man calls me tonight and asks me out and tells me he loves me, whatever. You know, we think it's a structure outside of ourselves that's some kind of a behavior or condition, right? But if you expand on what you realize love is, one can actually have the aha that I can experience it anywhere I go. I mean, I drove last night in the middle of the night, nine hours in the snow, never driven in the snow, and I was alone. And it was a terrible, terrible traffic jam. Mm. And, you know, a couple of my friends that knew I was doing it, they were like, oh, my God, you should not do this. You should have left days ago, and how come you do that? And they talked about being stressed doing it. And other than getting home to my phone today, I had no stress about it whatsoever. And I rolled down the window in the dark, and I was taking photographs when the traffic stopped because, there, you know, we couldn't move.
Mm-hmm.
I was taking photographs of the snowflakes.
Beautiful.
All by myself and just looking at the trees and what they look like with snow on them newly, freshly. I mean, I was in a state of gratitude and honor of what was going on around me.
It is beautiful when the snow freshly falls and it sticks to the branches, and that is quite beautiful. Coming from, you know, Ontario and in Canada, it's much easier to know what snow is like. We have it a lot.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure I want to live in it, but I certainly was enjoying it. I only have seen it snow in my life maybe three times, so it's a big deal.
Yeah, I guess it was.
And I'd been there for 6 days, and there was nothing but sun out, and this is a place that normally has snow all the time. Right. I mean, in the wintertime, and it was, you know, I walked on the beach, and I was by the water and the sand, and the sun was out, and the next day I was in a blizzard. It was quite amazing.
Just so you could have that experience and that joy coming home.
Exactly, exactly.
Now, so you talk about...
You
ahead.
Can hear from my speaking that I could have created that actually any way that I wanted.
Yeah.
That experience. In other words, I could have created it very easily as stress and worry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the, you know, again, we often don't remember or realize just how much our feelings are our choice.
Yes, exactly. And if we could remember that underneath even our fearful thoughts and our fear feelings, that underneath all of that are those wonderful feelings, and they're just not activated right now.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, they're not somewhere outside myself or over there that I have to go get it. They're within me. So in other words, me being grateful at nature last night, I mean, I didn't have anybody talk to about it. I didn't, you know, it's just by myself. And now that doesn't mean I can always do what I said. I'm just giving you a little snapshot of that experience. When I got home to my traffic at home and, you know, had to unpack a heavy suitcase, I was feeling different feelings.
Afterwards, huh?
Yeah. But it's good to have those experiences and acknowledge them, because then we can consciously create them more often,
mm-hmm.
rather than being kind of unconscious about the richness that we might even be experiencing. If you acknowledge it, then you can bring it forward again.
Mm-hmm. You know, I always think of the holiday season, and I think of, you know, the magic that is in life. And, you know, when you remember as a child the experience, because as you say, it is all about giving and receiving, but, you know, that magic that is around at the holiday season where we're, you know, just feeling that anything is possible and there are just, you know, infinite possibilities and ideas of how we can experience our life. And it's always that magic that I remember and hold in my heart when it comes to the holiday season, because that's what, you know, it wasn't so much the gifts that I would get or, you know, the experience of the receiving, but it was really just the whole magic that I would feel at that time.
So that actually, Lori, would be a wonderful list for people to make, including myself. I'll take that and use it. And that's if I write down on a piece of paper, what from the holidays do I consider that makes the magic?
Mm-hmm.
So, Lori, what for you makes the holiday magic?
You know, it's an experience that I don't really, it's not something I can necessarily put words to. It's there is an energy around the season that if I connect in with, I feel it. So, of course, it's love. Mm-hmm. And I guess it's giving and receiving, but it's more an energy that is around that's very prevalent, and it can be there all the time. But when I think of, you know, Santa, or when I think of that energy that was around when I was a child, I can still connect in with that. And that's the magic that I go for when I think of this time. I mean, for us, it is snow. So you know, when you do see a tree with the snow on it and it's sticking and it's, you know, that one of those first snows, or, you know, there are different times, but when the big snowflakes sort of fall onto the tree and you see that beautiful tree, or you see the lights and the Christmas trees. And I just moved into a slightly different area that I've been in the Toronto area. And, you know, they've put lights on some of the trees on near the boardwalk. And so you can go down there and it's just really beautiful and very special. So I live also on a, right near the lake, and there's a beach and a boardwalk, and so the snow and the lights and the, you know, just, it's just an energy that I can connect in with very easily, because it's always something that's held its magic within me.
Mm-hmm. So that's a wonderful, I mean, answer. It's evasive, and yet it doesn't mm-hmm. have to be. Both things are true. It's, and it can be difficult to capture. But the picture you just painted, I live by the water, we have a boardwalk, you know, the lights, and I just started creating a picture as you're speaking that I was enjoying, seeing Christmas lights being reflected in the water and snow mm-hmm. being around, but it's not snowing, but cold and your nose is running, you have a scarf wrapped around you, and, you know, you're walking in it. And if we all think about that, that can hold magic, but only if we lift our heads up and acknowledge the awareness of it. So we could still be doing the same thing and walking down the boardwalk, but not paying any attention to what's around us.
That's right.
And instead worrying with our head down walking. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh
absolutely.
My gosh, it's cold here and I can't think of it. I want to hurry up and get home, rather than lifting our head up and looking around. And living in that, oh, this is just delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Letting ourselves take the time for that awareness and to feel it, what that brings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You talk about rituals, but you also talk about blessings. Talk a little bit about what that means.
Now, what blessings mean to me, there is similar to gratitude. What are the mm-hmm. things? So to me, I feel blessed. It's just a different way to say I feel gratitude about that.
Okay.
And just for me personally, blessed has a little deeper meaning for me. So one, I mean, another list people can look at is what are all the ways in my life already that, what are the things I'm grateful for, and what are experiences that when I have them, I feel so blessed. And we can even close our eyes. I mean, when I think of my husband's passing, and I was talking about I was able to do the transition celebration, it's because I felt so filled with love that I'd had, and it still remained. It really was that I was experiencing feeling blessed.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a point of view and an awareness, bringing it up, you know, out of activating it from within ourselves. So how can I bless others? You know, it goes back to that. How can I give from a sacred place? That's a blessing. How can I give from a sacred place, meaning one of respect and honor and, you know, extending love?
Mm.
That's how we bless one another. And it can be just sweet words or sitting for a moment and holding hands.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to come in the form of a gift. If you look at the things that you've cherished the most, I doubt they are connected to things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're connected to moments between people or thinking of people.
Mm-hmm. The memories that we've created.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or the moments we make space for. I mean, mm-hmm. if you think about watching a child, but let's say you're not in the state that you have to take care of that child or do anything, you're not responsible in the moment or whatever. You just watch a two-year-old that's running over towards a Christmas tree and looking at the lights with awe in their face. That's a moment that's a blessed moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then telling the parent, let's say, oh my gosh, I'm just really enjoying watching your two-year-old for 5 minutes. I feel very blessed to be able to be present to this. Mm-hmm. So I think for me, thinking of it as a blessing is bringing more warmth and love to the experience. That's how I hold what a blessing is.
Mm-hmm. So again, those rich emotions that you were talking about, those rich experiences.
Yes. It's like love and contentment, inspiration, sort of all wrapped in one package. I feel blessed.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know the entire time you've been talking about different tools, but are there any other tools that you can suggest to help others have a more inspiring holiday?
Well, I would say, this is what I would suggest to make what I've been speaking about possibly easier, and that would be to write down, to divide a page down the middle, up and down, and on one side of it to write down all the different things that you can remember, situations like, oh gosh, we went and cut the Christmas tree. You know, it smelled good, whatever. Write down things that are memories, including the mundane. And then after you write the list, on the other column beside each thing, write down, I liked it, you know, I appreciated that because, and you write a feeling down. How did I feel at the deepest level when I was doing that? Then you end up with your most important feelings you want to experience. And then you take each one and write each one of the most important ones. Let's say you choose five or something. Write each one in the middle of a page, a separate page, and then draw lines like a brainstorming page.
Mm-hmm.
What are all the different ways I can create some known, some unknown, you know, some outside the box? That I would feel blessed, for example, or that I would feel love. And what you find is that you have like 150 things right there at your fingertips if you really live in the exercise. And you realize that you have so many things you could choose from to have a joyful, loving experience in each day. It almost can be overwhelming how good it can be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful. Well, it's been wonderful talking with you. Do you want to tell people how they can get a hold of you?
Well, I'd love to. Thank you for asking. My website is www.lifetimeloveconnection.com. And I'll say that again. It's lifetimeloveconnection.com. You can email me at that same site, Kathleen with a K, at lifetimeloveconnection.com, and I'll also give you my phone number if any of you want to get into a deeper conversation about this. I invite that, and the number is 925-674-9003.
Hmm. And is there anything else that you would like to tell people about what you're doing that it's especially for this time and with regards to relationships, if there's anything else that you didn't really talk about but would like to invite people to know that you do?
Well, the thing that I'm finding the most important to me in my work right now that I'd love to say is one of the things that I do that I love the most is I help people through process and speaking and exercise and so forth to get down to the deepest heart of their heart, where they do find what's most important, and then clearing anything in the way so that we can attract to us the love of our life or, you know, our work of life service or experiences that will make our life more joyful and soulful, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I have processes and coaching programs and workshops that are designed to produce that as a result.
Right. Lovely. Well, I look forward to having you back, maybe talking about your new book or definitely talking about relationships. And I think it was a lovely show. And again, I look forward to it.
Thank you so much, Lori, for having me and creating such a wonderful place that I can speak like this. So thank you.
You're welcome. All right. We'll be back later on in the week. Take care and have a great evening.